Hello, this is Thompson Smiley, and this is another clip from my monthly Louisville Picks, which is published each month in Louisville Magazine. This month is slightly different since there's no print version in Louisville Magazine. I'm free to bring in guests on a wide range of topics, I hope. And I'm happy to welcome to the studio Andy Epstein, who is a Louisville attorney. He's a writer, he's a playwright, he's a multiple threat, but he's also the producing director, for want of a better term, of a new theatre company in Louisville. Andy, why another theatre company?
Well, there's a lot of really good theater going on in Louisville, but I found that no one was putting on the type of shows that really interested me, and that is shows that are shows of really good quality, but that are not seen very often. So, for example, you'll see a lot of great community theater productions of shows like Fiddler on the Roof and Oklahoma and The Music Man, classics that everybody loves and everybody has seen many times. What I was interested in doing is producing some forgotten gems, shows that never made it big on Broadway, or shows that audiences may not be familiar with, but still are very worthy and entertaining stories that I think people would enjoy.
I first want to stress the urgency that the production you've chosen, or the piece you've chosen for your inaugural production, is Chess, the musical Chess, and it's running this week in Louisville at the Mex Theatre Thursday, Friday and Saturday. So if we want to see it, we better get off the starting blocks. Why Chess?
Chess is a musical that I've been interested in and been in love with since I was a teenager. Chess came out in the late 80s. It is written by Tim Rice, a very famous theater lyricist who wrote lyrics for Jesus Christ Superstar, Evita, The Lion King, Aladdin, and many other famous shows. And the music is by Benny Andersson and Björn Ulvaeus, both of whom were members of the rock group ABBA. It was a collaboration between them in the late 80s. And the show had some success in England, but when it moved to Broadway in 1988, it flopped. And it flopped very famously amongst theater people.
Now, it ran for about 3 years in London, I think, and it ran for a month on Broadway. Is that right?
That's correct. And amongst musical theater enthusiasts, ever since then, there's been an ongoing debate about why it failed. But the bottom line is no one ever does this show. But it has great music. And I've always wanted to see it. I've never seen a production of it. And I finally decided if I ever want to see this show, I'm going to have to put it on myself.
Now, one argument is that the subject sounds cerebral at first hearing. Who wants to watch a musical or hear a musical about such an intellectual game as chess? But in fact, as you point out in some of your material, it's truly a love triangle, is it not?
Yes, the chess game that is the subject of the play really is a metaphor for the relationships between the characters. The story is primarily a love triangle between the American chess champion and the Russian chess champion, and a woman who is in love with both of them and her struggle to decide which one of them she's going to choose. The chess game is also a metaphor in the show for the struggle between the United States and the Soviet Union and all the political and military maneuvering of the Cold War. That's an element of the story, too. So people who come see the show will definitely not see 2 hours of people just playing a chess game and not talking. The chess game itself is really secondary to the action and the music.
So there's a kind of look back, isn't there, at what Bobby Fischer, and was it Gasparov, who was his deadly enemy?
That's right. The show was loosely inspired by the chess rivalry from the 1970s between the American champion Bobby Fischer and Kasparov, the Russian champion. I don't believe they were both in love with the same woman in real life, so I think that was a creation of the authors of this show for dramatic effect, but a lot of the other action in the show is loosely based on their story and their rivalry.
What's the format of this? Now, one comment I read was that the London production was fairly modest, shall we say, in terms of its production values. And then the whole thing was conflated, is that the word, blown up for a big Broadway spectacular. And that's one reason why they think it flopped. It's a small show and is not a Shea Stadium spectacular.
Well, I agree with that, absolutely. Chess was originally, I think, conceived as a very minimalist show with an emphasis just on the music and the acting. But Chess was produced in the late 80s, and at that time what was popular are some of the now very famous mega-hit musicals, Phantom of the Opera, Les Miserables, Miss Saigon, and what drew audiences to those shows in large part was the multi-million dollar special effects,
yes.
Helicopters landing on stage,
exactly, yeah.
Chandeliers dropping from the ceiling. And I personally believe that in part where the Broadway production of Chess went wrong was in trying to take this story that's a very small story and make it an epic story like those, and add elevators and gigantic moving chess pieces and things, meant to cause visual spectacle, but that did not really help the story.
So you come away as the Broadway thing is humming the scenery.
That's right. So my concept for this production is something I'm calling Chess in Concert, and that was inspired by a concert version of this show that was done on PBS in 2008, starring Idina Menzel and Josh Groban. So what a concert version of a musical means is this. It's more than a staged reading, that is, actors just standing up on a stage, holding their scripts, reading the pages, but it's less than a fully realized production. We have no scenery, just a few pieces of furniture. The actors will be wearing their street clothes, their carefully chosen clothes, but as opposed to period costumes from the 1980s. And the format is a lot more presentational than a fully realized production of a musical you might be seeing at the Kentucky Center in the Broadway series. That is, the actors often come and sing to the audience front and center, and there's a chorus who will be on stage in the background of the main actors, visible the entire time, and in the big ensemble numbers they simply stand and sing their songs.
Sounds really interesting. And it's in the mix. I mean, one of my particular passions is the right size piece for the right size house. And the mix is a wonderfully intimate, usually three-sided, isn't it? It's normally an arena format.
It normally is. The mix, for those who don't know, is a black box, small-sized theater. It seats about 100. It's in the Kentucky Center for the Arts. And it is available for rent to amateur groups. It's a wonderfully flexible space,
yes.
And very intimate space. You're right up on top of the performers. You can see all their facial expressions, and the acoustics are just wonderful. So I think it's the perfect theater space for this show.
Yes, I agree. I think it's a very exciting chance. And once again, we need to remind people it's this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which is June 2, 3, and 4. It's at the Mix Theater, and tickets can be had from the Kentucky Center box office, which, if memory serves, is 585-7777. But this sounds like something that's not to be missed. Your company is called?
The Encore Theater.
Because it's such a second chance to hear works which may have fallen by the wayside.
Exactly. And I'll also admit I was inspired for the name by a similar group in New York City called the Encores with an exclamation point series. And their mission is to revive long-forgotten musicals. They specialize mostly in musicals of the 30s and 40s. But I liked their idea of reviving forgotten pieces.
Good. Well, thanks very much, Andy Epstein. Break a Leg this week at the Mix, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, June 2, 3, and 4. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.